Welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast with Skytera Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. Jeff and Rachel back here with you today.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am excited for what we're about to get into.
Me too. I have a question for you.
What's the question?
Do you go on social media?
Sadly, I spend some time on social media. Yes, I do.
So we're at the beginning of the year. What have you been seeing a lot of on social media?
Is it New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
Is that what everybody's talking about?
Everybody's talking about it.
Yep. I've seen a lot of that.
But less so now that we're into the second week of January than we saw maybe at the end of December, beginning of January.
Yeah. It definitely like has peaked and it's on its way down, it seems like.
Yeah.
What's your New Year's resolution?
So my New Year's resolution is actually to run every day.
Really?
Yes. So there's something out there called a run streak.
Listeners, don't try this at home.
You could. And it doesn't have to be running. It could be a move streak, just trying to move every day.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, that might be a great place to start.
Yeah. But the run streak is you run every day a minimum of a mile. No limitations on how fast or how slow, just whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Just has to be every day. Could be on a treadmill, could be outside. And before it to register officially as a run streak, you have to do it for 365 days in a row.
Wow.
So I'm starting small with the minimum, just a mile every day.
I like that it's a mile. So now that you've explained it to me, this seems attainable. Have you been doing pretty well so far?
Yeah, I actually started a little bit before the new year just to kind of give myself some momentum going into January 1st. And I have enough under my belt that it's become a habit.
That's awesome. So yeah. You feel like you're kind of grooving with it. It's a little bit more second nature already at this point.
Listen, now that I'm saying it out loud on a podcast, I almost have to do it.
I think you did that intentionally.
I did.
Yeah.
What about you? What was your New Year's resolution?
I think a lot of folks know I'm an avid reader, so I like to read books. And what I struggle with sometimes is the consistency of it, where I can like go on like 4 or 5 days, 30 to 60 minutes, sometimes 2 hours, just diving into my newest read. And what I'm trying to do this year is to, no matter what, read 1 to 2 pages. So have 5 minutes every morning. If it can extend to 20 to 30 minutes, I'm super stoked. It's just, I'm kind of playing it based off the day and what some of the responsibilities are. But I'm committing. I've made sure I've committed to always picking up a book and reading it every single day.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I get a lot of my book recommendations from you.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, that's basically how I use my social media, is secretly I'm posting books so that I can remember the notes. And I do think it's valuable for a lot of folks to kind of just see what other people are reading. It's always like inspiring to kind of pick up that latest and greatest.
Do you read more than one book at a time? Or are you a single book reader?
I'm definitely a 2-book reader. And they're usually 2 different topics. So one's usually health related and the other's usually business related. And so it gives me a nice kind of just mix up depending on the day and what I'm feeling.
Nice.
Yeah.
How's your resolution going so far?
It's great. I am all over it. I think for me, what works really well is picking the time. So being consistent with it, the morning time, and kind of keeping that sacred has allowed me to keep up with always opening up that book.
Good for you.
Yeah. So we probably want to dive into kind of the first thing around New Year's resolutions is why some of them don't work.
Yeah, and I actually have a fact for you.
You do?
Yeah. Well,
bring it.
And I got this fact from Patrick Davis, who's our director of IT and sales.
I know him.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's full of facts. But the fact that he gave me is leading up to January 1st, the Google searches for New Year's resolutions are extremely high. They drop off almost completely by the second week in January, which is where we're at.
Wow. Wow.
So I think what we can do today is maybe help people get back on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's so early on. Even if someone's off track right now, there's no reason that they can't get back on track.
Exactly. So why do you think New Year's resolutions don't work?
Well, I think it's important to reflect on the most common New Year's resolutions, which might be losing weight, quitting smoking, working less, saving more money. And when you think about those as just some broad categories, it seems like they're very outcome focused. So when individuals set New Year's resolutions, they're often very vague with them and their outcomes versus goals. And I think that's an important difference we want to talk about today is it's actually harder to reach outcomes when that's all you're focusing on. It's really important to make sure that your goals are set according to your outcomes.
And I like the way you did that with your reading goal, mm-hmm. because instead of saying, I just want to read more or I want to learn more about this specific topic, you've mm-hmm. made it really actionable.
Yeah, yeah. Where what's a great play with at least how it's been set up for my example is literally it's a specific time every day. And I don't know, did you do that with your run streak? Like, is there a specific time or are you a little more laissez-faire with that?
I try to use my run streak on days that I'm doing a different kind of exercise. I'll just tack it on right after.
Nice.
But on a day that I'm taking a day off from any kind of exercise, I'll use it usually during lunch. I'll also maybe if I have a very busy day, try to set some time aside during lunch.
So there's still specificity around it.
There's a purpose. Yeah. I'm not just using it for the running. I'm using it, you know, to maybe as a cool down or maybe just to kind of clear my brain in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other reasons why you think New Year's resolutions don't work? We've established that most New Year's resolutions are outcome focused. What else?
You know, I think that I've actually heard this from a few different people who say that the idea of doing something completely different on one specific day can be really intimidating. And, mm-hmm. you know, you almost feel like if I don't achieve what I set out to do, which might be a really lofty goal, mm-hmm. then, I didn't do it for this one day or I slipped a little bit and now I'm a failure. And that's a really difficult mindset to put yourself in.
Yeah, you're almost describing like the all or nothing mentality where if you miss one day, suddenly like you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
And I think to kind of back up another point around New Year's resolutions and why they may fail is often they're worded negatively. So when you think about it, it's like lose weight, quit smoking. Like it's just worded in a way that almost doesn't encourage the psychological component of it.
Yeah, because you want to be encouraging yourself in a really positive way, mm-hmm. especially if you know the wording of your New Year's resolution is what's in your brain and what you're thinking about. Like, oh, I told myself I wouldn't eat sugar, and now I just had a tiny cupcake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm really bad. I was bad. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that's the terminology that I think is woven in how we speak about health as well, is like most people tend to see things as good or bad. And when you think of a New Year's resolution, if you've set a New Year's resolution because you were bad last year, you've kind of already not maybe come at it in the right direction that you should.
You're not setting yourself up for success.
Yeah, and that's important because you're describing the all or nothing mentality. Like nobody is going to be perfect every single day of the week. No matter how dialed in they make health a part of their life, it's not, days happen. Things come up in our day. And so we have to kind of have a little bit of compassion for just how life is lived.
Right. And balance too.
Oh, yeah. So don't get me started on balance.
Let's get you started on balance.
I think you just did because this is like, you catch yourself saying this a lot. It's like, oh, I just can't wait till my life is in perfect balance. Like, Rachel, could you give me the year and like the exact week when your life was in perfect balance? Could you just share with our listeners?
Maybe when I was a baby.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Like maybe. And when you think about this concept, like the concept of just balance in general, it's totally mythological. And so I think this is where weaving this into New Year's resolutions, you're never going to be perfectly balanced. If you're trying to set a new habit as part of your routine, you're trying to create a change, it is impossible to say that it's going to eventually be perfectly balanced. Because when I look at habit change and just creating a new normal, it has to do with counterbalancing the other things that might be happening in your life. This is like to kind of extend this conversation forward, like most New Year's resolutions are focused on adding and not removing.
Hmm.
So when you think of this, like why maybe New Year's resolutions fail is because we think that our life can be in perfect balance. And if we just add it in, then our life will be in balance. But in order to counterbalance our lives and to create the new normal of whatever resolution we have, we have to kind of ask a harder question of what do we need to remove to allow that resolution to be part of our life?
Right. Because people live very full lives. There isn't often a lot of space to add in something new.
Yeah.
Even if it just takes 5 minutes.
Exactly. And that's where sometimes even we like, oh, it's just 5 minutes. We can do it. Well, easier said than done.
Right.
You know, it's been difficult to open that book and to kind of create that routine around it. And I'm sure it has where you have to think about it. You have to internally make it relevant to you.
Right. And I think, you know, something I've heard you say a lot, Jeff, is when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. And that can work in a positive way and a negative way, too. So thinking about what you're saying yes to, just because you have been saying yes to it for a while, maybe that's not leaving space for something else that you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentialism is a fantastic book that kind of, it isn't necessarily a New Year's resolution focused book, but it speaks to just that line of like every single time you say yes to something, you are actually saying no to something else.
Right.
And if we don't kind of take a step back and realize where we're maybe saying yes to often, how dare us to believe that this resolution is going to actually work and sustain itself throughout the year?
So it sounds like what we're saying is maybe the first step into this new year, if you have a resolution, something that you've been thinking about, is make sure that it's worded correctly.
Yeah. Make sure it's worded correctly, not negative. Make sure that the outcome isn't too broad. It's okay to have outcome-related resolutions, but you then have to get specific around the resolution. So that would just be my additional point on it is, yeah, make sure it's positive, word it correctly. Word it as if you're already there is another kind of tip with getting there. Because if you word it as if it's not attainable, like, oh my gosh, like this couldn't be a picture of me, then that's another spot that you could be tripped up in the wording. It's like, it can almost be like when I am already there from a standpoint of like, yeah, like this is how I'm going to feel when I get there.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah. So let's maybe think of like a resolution from a standpoint that adds in some of these specifics. And I think we've got to take it where you lay the macro resolution, and then you have to follow that macro up with some micro steps. So in regards, let's just use weight loss. That's a common one.
Mm-hmm.
A nice start to the weight loss example is I will be 20 pounds lighter and feeling fantastic in my skin. So it could also be I will be 20 pounds lighter and be able to walk into a room with other people and feel good about myself. So this is kind of vision building in a way, in that you have the outcome, but then you put an internal reason to it.
I like that.
And that's where I would start on the macro level. And what I meant by the micro is then let's figure out what are those daily steps, those daily actions we have to apply to get us to that picture of feeling good in our skin.
Right. And that doesn't always have to do with exercising my face off.
No, exactly. It actually could have more to do with what do you need to remove to allow your body to achieve that goal. And that just brings it all full circle where we've got to make sure that it's not just a new like behavioral practice that we have to do. You might in one of those micro steps be like, man, I probably need to work less so I can get home and prepare a healthy dinner for myself and my family.
Right. Because remember, what you say yes to, you're saying no to something else.
Yeah, and that's like the step in the process where I don't think instinctually humans are great at removing. Specifically in like how we live today, I mean, we're checking our cell phones 13 to 15 times in an hour. We have 350 decisions on average to make in a day. If you're not thinking through what things you could remove, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
What about the all or nothing mentality? So thinking about, you know, I hear this a lot. You know what? I'm not going to eat any sugar at all this year. I'm not going to eat any desserts. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to drink any alcohol.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, sometimes maybe the alcohol example could be valid, but when you're thinking I'm not going to do it at all, that is a really easy way to set yourself up for failure, because one little slip and you just feel like everything's gone. Everything that you've worked for is just blown. So that on or off mentality, I think, is another red flag to look for and to try to avoid.
Yeah, it's like the black or white thinking. So when we look at the all or nothing mentality, just in our experience with the guests we have the privilege of working with, my experience in wellness for a long time, this is the number one psychological roadblock that people fall into the trap of. Where when you think about it, sugar, alcohol, not moving, all of those things are part of our world. They're part of our world already. And so we have to learn how can we really work on those things in a way that's sustainable. So meaning, like, if you're in a social setting and you like to have a drink once in a while with friends or with coworkers, we've got to be very careful that, like, you're not the person who shows up at the party and, like, I'm sorry, my New Year's resolution is happening right now. I cannot drink for the rest of this year. I'll drink with you guys next time. So
nobody wants that person at the party.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like the person who brings their own food to your house. Like, it just gets a little bit awkward. And we're not trying to put those individuals down, because different individuals may have certain restrictions and need to be aware. But I think there can be a better conversation with, like, the hostess in that situation. What's great, like, just to go back to the alcohol example, is especially if this isn't, you know, an extreme point, meaning, like, we're not completely overdoing it. Like, alcohol, maybe you're just putting it on Friday and Saturday. So with breaking the all or nothing mentality, that black or white thinking, you and I don't love the word allow here, but you give yourself, like, less stress on a couple of days a week.
Right.
And really just carve out a plan around how you're going to break the all or nothing mentality. Same thing could go for physical activity. Okay, on Sundays, I'm not going to worry too much about moving my body unless, of course, I'm doing a run streak.
Right.
And I'll go out and maybe walk jog the right. mile in that scenario.
And I think, too, the way that humans are wired, if you tell yourself you can't have X,
yeah,
that's all you're thinking about.
Exactly. Yeah. When you look at just health behavior in general, you've got to get to a place of, like, I want to versus I should. And I think that's where it comes in with, like, sugar. I shouldn't have sugar. Just when you hear that soak in, it's like, man, well, that feels super restrictive. I don't know if I can handle this. And a nice analogy to think about changing your thinking around all or nothing is to just look at the behaviors you're doing as, like, a bank account. And you can put as many withdrawals as many withdrawals from your bank account as you want, or you can put in as many deposits as you would like. And so that removes, like, that good or bad thinking, where if we're going after just creating a new normal where it's not overly restrictive, we just want to be putting more deposits into our bank account versus as many withdrawals as maybe happened last year.
I like that image, Jeff, because it's giving you a lot more control mm-hmm. versus the thing that you're trying to avoid or the thing that you're trying to add in having the control. You're saying, this is my health. I'm taking care of it in all of these ways. And you look, I've made 10 deposits this week.
Yeah.
I can have a slice of cake.
Yeah. And it's not inherently bad to have a slice of cake.
Right.
Like, it's not inherently bad. And that's where most folks who have maybe been dieting for a long time, they've been around the block before, they've experienced the exact situation we're talking about. And I think in overcoming that, it is really important to reflect on, where can I, you know, allow myself some more withdrawals
right.
this time
right.
versus just always thinking about I've got a deposit. That's like you make a crap ton of money and then you don't allow yourself to spend any of it. You don't allow yourself to even give gifts to, like, your family members.
Right.
Super weird, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we've nailed all or nothing mentality. The other one I think is important to go into is, like, there's some phrases around New Year's resolutions, and I think just change in general, and I'm not a huge fan of them. Have you heard of this? Willpower? Have you heard of that before?
I think I have.
Yeah, yeah. And how about this one? Discipline?
Discipline.
Yeah, if I could only be more disciplined this time. So when you think about, like, forging a new normal, you can't rely on willpower, and you can't rely on discipline. Now, what's interesting about that is, in order for this to be part of your life, what we're essentially saying is it has to just be groomed over time so that you do not have to rely on discipline or willpower. Because it's kind of a myth when you think about it. If our listeners think of any habits or New Year's resolutions that did change for the better and continue with like throughout their life, they've probably not been relying on willpower and discipline after, you know, 6 months. It's just been, this is who they are. This is how they do it. And that's what we want to try to build when we're creating a New Year's resolution. And that goes into those micro steps, is if you don't set those micro steps, you're going to always be relying on willpower and discipline, which are myths in the context we're using it today.
Jeff, are you saying that you can't have willpower and discipline for something that's not yet your habit?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
That makes sense. I don't know if you heard of this. A couple of years ago, there was this kind of diet mentality where you would eat really healthy during the week,
mm-hmm.
but you could let your diet go on one day on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Like the cheat meal.
The
right?
cheat meal
yeah.
or a cheat day,
cheat
which turned
day.
Into the cheat weekend.
I think everyone out there has heard of this one, and we've all maybe fallen into this trap before.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely know. When I was excessively exercising, it was like, okay, that one day a week, I can go ahead and let the doors kind of fall off the bus. This is called selective accountability. Have you heard that terminology before?
I have.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I'm great during the week and on the weekends, I'm just not going to care. I think this is important in making your New Year's resolution sustain, with, say you go on vacation. Your behavior shouldn't change that dramatically. And I think this is always funny, is like Lindsay and I will go on vacation and people are always surprised that we still go move our bodies like before the day starts. And I think that's just an example of this. It's what we do. It's a habit. And regardless of whether I'm on vacation, regardless of whether it's a holiday, whatever's happening in my life, that's something that's important to me. And I think that's what's important with selective accountability, is we can't just be good on certain days of the year and bad, if we're going back to that terminology.
Right.
We have to kind of plan around that and make sure that there aren't specific days that we can be off plan.
What does your vacation movement look like?
Yeah, I think when you think of it, it's just looking for what's available when you're in a different environment. So New Year's resolutions are very much environment driven. So it does help to have a partner and helps to have a support I definitely want to get on this run streak thing you're talking about. It's super cool. Where that when you go on vacation, you can really just keep it simple. This could be walking and doing some body weight exercises just outside your hotel room. And then when you think about it, like most hotels or people you're staying with, they might already be going to a fitness center, and you can just kind of tag along with them. So I think it's actually easier than we think to keep up with routines when we're on vacation or a holiday comes up.
You know, my husband and I do the same thing. And when we're on vacation for our anniversary, which is basically our one vacation a year, we'll do a workout using the numbers of the dates of our anniversary.
Oh,
just to make it a little
cool.
bit more fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's nice because you can have more fun when you're on vacation. And so even though that's a routine at home where you might be showing up to a class, you get some variety
right.
by being in a different location.
Right. Right. So bringing this back to New Year's, it's this idea of finding the habit and making sure that you're consistent with it, instead of it's been drudgery for the week and now I'm going to give myself a couple of days off. And if it's exercise that's your resolution, again, we've talked about just moving your body. It doesn't have to be killing yourself every
yeah.
day.
Yeah. And I think you raise a great point where like sometimes we need to lower our expectations. This is something I'm terrible at.
And have compassion for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Where like the expectations you set for that resolution may actually dictate your success. So that's where when we go back to the beginning, that phrasing, taking the time to really think through that resolution, even though we're already into January, it makes sense to maybe revisit it and to spend like 30 minutes around it and identify, are there things that I'm doing that are working? And then also, what have I learned already from this past week that I could implement where I could create a new strategy around so that it becomes a little bit more easier? So yeah, I think lowering the expectations, just really creating a smart plan around it is so important.
I think too, one thing that I have athletes that I work with do is mm-hmm. before they set their resolution for a new year, I ask them to think about all of the successes that they've had already during the year that they're in, the year that's ending. And that helps them come to what they want to change or what they want to add in or what they want to do differently with a little bit of success under their belt.
That's great.
I was able to do this. Let me see if I can take it a little bit further.
So it's almost like a strength-based inquiry. And you're essentially seeing what they did well last year and maybe upping the ante and improving upon what they're already doing well.
Yeah, the momentum of it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Jeff, when guests show up to SkyTerra, especially in January, does the program team, how do they help address resolutions? Like, what do you hear a lot from guests and what do you say to them?
I think our program is very woven with this philosophy in general, in that we really try to remove good or bad thinking. And we all face the good or bad thinking. Like when you look at society and how we're set up, we literally have been programmed to think that way. And so throughout kind of the philosophy of what guests experience, they will get the same sort of methodology from each of our pros. There's two classes in specifically that we work on, which include Inspired Intentions and then Back to Values. So yeah, even though this is the Inspired Intentions podcast, we actually have a specific education session around it that can really help people lead to change and think about resolutions differently.
That's how important that class is.
It's crucial. It's always on Friday. And when you're getting hit with a lot of information, a lot of new ways of doing things, it's important to bring it back to you and to bring it back to your why. So when we were going through some of those examples of resolutions earlier, the weight loss example, we basically tacked on a why to the resolution, making it more internal. So Back to Values is very similar, where sometimes we drift. Sometimes we forget about where we really want to go. And so it's important to take a step back to slow down and to really see like what did go well last year? How can I maybe stop a drift that I've felt that has been happening to me? And so that those two classes in particular can help people really think on like a deeper level.
What kind of feedback do, I know you talk to the guests a lot and they like to share with you, especially after the Inspired Intentions lecture, what's some of the feedback that you hear?
Well, I think there's a lot of moments where it's like, man, this is how I've been operating. This is how I've been living. And we don't always do like an inventory around that. Like, think about it. When is the last time you went to a coffee shop and sat down for, I don't know, 2 hours and just thought about your life, like what you wanted? We don't plan for the slowing down nature of this. And that's what's really crucial to think about and to also give yourself some compassion around is like, you've actually never been trained on personal behavior change. Like, have you taken the course on behavior change? Was that like required in high school or college for you? Like personal behavior change. It's very similar. I like to make the analogy with like personal finances and how many of us maybe never got some education around that. And so that's where the reactions are more, wow, man, this really makes sense. I can really slow down. I can see how I'm living. I can then start to set a vision to how I, where I want to go. And then really the third step is a deeper analysis of habits. Habits are very tricky. And I think we have high expectations for ourselves when we're trying to break a habit. And we have to remember that these things have been groomed over years. So I think those are the biggest like epiphanies in that they learn to set a vision. They learn how powerful a why can be as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like motivation, it's kind of like the weather.
Yeah.
That's kind of a problem. So if we're relying even on motivation, then and don't have that really internal nature to the resolution, again, where we'll fall into like, I wish I was more disciplined today. I wish I had more willpower. So yeah, it's that step back on identifying a why versus the what and how.
And I think just to take us back to where we started a little bit, sometimes having a buddy to help with your resolution can be great.
Yeah.
What I think can be detrimental for some people is social media this time of year, because if you're starting to see, you know, hey, I'm on day 14 of my resolution and you feel like you haven't been able to keep yours, that's even more difficult to see, and it can make you feel even more defeated. So if you're finding that you have that feeling on social media, maybe just avoid it.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that comes up is sometimes sharing your resolutions with the wrong people isn't always the best. And I think that's what social media is essentially, is it's a platform for us to share our resolutions where it may actually impact us negatively. I heard a statistic a while back that like 1/3 of people who go on social media, and then when they come off, they actually feel worse than when they initially went on there.
I would imagine it's probably higher.
Most likely, yeah. My statistic must be out of date. But that like the power of social media can really impact our behavior.
But let's talk about maybe finding somebody who will help you with your resolution. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if you know that your body feels good exercising in the morning, finding somebody to maybe meet you for a walk or meet you for an exercise class can help, especially on days where maybe it's cold and dark, which it tends to be in January, mm-hmm. February. That group, that someone who will text you, who you know is waiting for you, mm-hmm. Can really have a positive impact.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great point, where even if it's not every single day, at least having a couple of sessions per week, a couple of not appointments isn't the best word, but like scheduling it in. If you can schedule it in with someone else who like you really respect and really has your back, it's going to hands down make you more successful. Like even many of our professionals who are into this whole health and wellness thing and have the habit going, we all rely on other professionals to actually help us keep up with our routines as well.
Right.
Where like for me, strength training specifically, I love going to a group training class. Like I have to in order to kind of stay consistent with it.
Are you thinking of doing the run streak?
I am thinking of doing the run streak. You know, just my background, I'll have to keep myself in check. However, this whole mile thing seems super attainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can be your buddy.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. I can hop on the train.
And then just to go back to that run streak for a second. So I have a tiny notebook with really, you know what vellum is, paper?
No.
It's that translucent paper. It's a little bit shiny, mm-hmm. A little bit thicker than like tracing paper that we used to have as kids.
Wow.
And I've been keeping track of my runs in that. I use a different color pen on each different page. Hmm. And it's just a tracking system that helps me kind of look back and see what I've done already. And I know that that notebook is waiting for me right on top of my computer. So I think having a tracking system and a way to stick to the behavior that you're trying to change or that you're trying to add or that you're trying to get rid of, mm-hmm. is a really important way so that you can see your progress.
Yeah. And I like you added some extra details in there. It sounds like you even have a specific spot.
I do.
For that tracker. Do you do it at a specific time when you like check in with the tracker?
I do, in the morning.
Yeah.
And if it's a day that I'm not running until lunch, mm-hmm. I keep that notebook on top of my desk so that I see it while I'm working. Mm-hmm. And it's just a reminder that I need to take a break at some point.
So the visibility of that is important as well.
Yeah.
I think tracking is really important in the beginning. I think until it's become second nature, until this is something you feel like I want to do it, and it's become that more sense of enjoyment that like you feel the accomplishment, having some sort of tracking system is super helpful. And I do think to, you know, all of those individuals who have maybe tried this before in the past is to do something that feels right for you. I don't think you have to track it in a certain way. You could do it on your cell phone. Rachel's given you a great example of a hard copy tracker. However, think about what's going to be easiest for you and what's going to be most rewarding. So what is something that you can look at? What is a way of tracking that is going to really lead to kind of a deeper fulfillment that you're following through every single day?
I heard a great tip recently, which was, you know, so many of us have to-do lists. I know we were talking about Lindsay's to-do list.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just everyone's to-do list seems to be a mile long. Mm-hmm. But I heard the great tip, which is instead of doing that, having a did list.
Did
so
list.
Once you've did something, once you've done it, you write it down and you cross it off. Just mm-hmm. a little bit different way to feel more accomplished about everything that you've been able to do.
That's fantastic. And it's almost like with these to-do lists, like, have you ever written a to-do list and every single day you've gotten everything done?
Never.
We tend to overburden ourselves. Another kind of tip around there, like, that's actionable is, like, think of your big three for the day. I listen to Michael Hyatt quite a bit, and the big three is something he's coined where just writing down those three things that if nothing else happens today, these are the three things you're going to do. I think your New Year's resolution could be like one of those three. And then the other two could be either professional or personal, whatever you're trying to forge kind of a new path around.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jeff, to summarize.
Yeah, let's do the run through. So first things first, make sure that if you've set a New Year's resolution and it's solely an outcome, to go back and really set a why around it. So set how your life is going to be different when you achieve that outcome. So if it's working less, really define how your life is going to be different when you start working less.
And how that will feel.
And how it will feel. Yeah, I think listeners, you've hopefully gotten from today that getting more internal with where you're going is so crucial. There's a common question that comes up over the phones for us. And the common question is, how much weight am I going to lose in a week at your facility? And this question, it drives me a little bit crazy and is in relation to our New Year's resolutions talk today, in that the better question to ask yourself is, how is your life going to be different when you lose the weight? And now I know, you know, many retreats and places are set up for maybe a quick fix. But being focused on the long game and focused on how great this outcome is going to feel will really lead to your success.
I like that.
Yeah. So second point I think we made today was avoid the common psychological roadblocks that are out there. So whether that's all or nothing mentality, selective accountability, or willpower and discipline, really remind yourself that these are kind of those things we say to ourselves that might get in the way of our ability to reach that New Year's resolution. And then finally, I think we were pretty on top of this in just going a little deeper, is focus on the behaviors that are going to lead to the outcome. So whether that's starting a new form of tracking, whether that is finding a partner who can help you, be very specific with those small steps that are going to get you to that bigger picture.
Yeah, be compassionate with yourself. Know what will work.
Lower the expectations. Yeah. Like another last point. I mean, New Year's resolutions is always an interesting topic because we've all failed before. We've all been successful, and it's trying to leverage what's gone right in the past. But be patient as well. It isn't going to happen overnight. Slow it down. Lower the expectations, and just be patient with the process. Like, I always try to remind guests that behavior change is a process. It's not an event. It's not something that just happens.
Right. And it didn't start on January 1st, 2020. And you can start any day.
You can start any day. So gathering from some of these quick tips, these examples, you can change behavior whenever you want. So don't let your new normal be dictated by a certain day of the year. You can always get back on track. You can always pave a new path forward.
Pave a new path forward. Every day is a new day.
Every day is a new day.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, no worries.
This has been the Inspired Intentions podcast, which is a production of SkyTerra Wellness. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks, everybody.